Throughout the year, we drink NC wine, cider, and mead. Whether you join us for an event, plan a visit to your local winery, cidery, or meadery, or enjoy a meal at your favorite restaurant perfectly paired with NC wine, anytime is a great time to get out and give love to your local maker. To plan your trip, download the NC Wine app or visit ncwine.org.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt. We're the NC Wine Guys. Welcome to Cork Talk.
This is our first episode in our Best of Cork Talk series. We're looking back to our interview with Charles and Ann Edwards of Baker Buffalo Creek Vineyard in Lawndale, North Carolina.
We recently made a trip out to Baker Buffalo Creek Vineyard and caught up with Charles and Ann for an update of what's been going on out at the farm. So stay tuned at the end of the episode for that update. This episode was also brought to you in part by a grant from the North Carolina Wine and Grape Council. You can learn more about the council by going to their website, ncwine.org.
So sit back, pour a glass, and listen. So we're here on a warm evening here at Baker Buffalo Creek with Charles and Ann Edwards. So welcome to Cork Talk.
Thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
So Charles, Ann, why don't you take a moment to introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay. I'm Ann Edwards. I grew up here on the farm when it was a dairy farm. I'm a retired elementary school teacher.
And what grade did you teach?
Mostly third.
Okay.
Cursive and everything, getting right in there.
Right, and we still talk cursive.
Excellent.
And I'm Charles Edwards. I'm the worker here at the farm. She's the boss already, or has been. But in turn, I grew up in Gastonia. And in turn, Ann and I met at Lenore Ryan, and we married out of college. I worked as a chemist for about 10 years, the dry cleaning business for about 30 years, and had a heart attack. And we sold the business, and we go to California to visit our oldest daughter, fell in love with the wine business, and here we are, growing grapes and making wine. But Ann's still the boss.
So how long has Ann been your boss?
53 years, Joe.
Oh, wow.
We've been married for 53 years, same woman. But in turn, awesome. If I had to do it again, I'd do the same thing. Really.
Excellent.
That's one of our audience members.
So, Ann, you mentioned that you grew up here. Was this your family farm then?
Yes. My grandfather was a gentleman farmer, which I think meant he didn't farm that much. But he had a general store down on Buffalo Creek and a grain mill and a federal license to make liquor. Then my father was a dairy farmer. So then he retired from that and knew my sister and I were not going to be dairy farmers. So it stopped being a dairy farm then.
So what was the transition from dairy farm until now then?
Well, there was a period of time after my father retired and before we inherited the farm that the farm was maintained by a neighboring farmer. So the land was continuously tilled, and he kept his cows in the pasture. Even though it was not my family farming it, it was still being farmed.
Kind of keeping the land active and tilled right. And all the things that we need.
So when were the first vines planted here?
Joe, they were planted in 2003. Ann and I went to California to visit our oldest daughter, like we mentioned, and in turn fell in love with the wine business, came back and bought a book. We started reading, and in turn I told Ann, well, let's do grapes. You don't know a thing about grapes, I know, but I can learn. She said, let's go to the beach with a book. And I said, Ann, I can't do that. Then I really couldn't, but I'm wired too tight. But anyway, we have 10 acres of vines. We have Chardonnays, Cabs, Merlots, Cab Francs, and in turn, we make the wine here. We went to Surrey Community College, did winemaking courses for 2 years, and in turn, had the winery added on in 2009, and we opened the winery in 2009. But we planted in 2003, so we had years of good growth to make the good grapes and things like that. And now we've got vines anywhere around 16, 18-year vines producing some quality fruit here.
So now, Charles, was it just you that went to Surrey, or did Ann?
Ann and I both did, really.
Okay.
Ann and I both, really. Okay. And Ann will be a better winemaker than I ever will be. What's the old saying in the wine business? Never drink wine before it's time, and I'm always in too big a hurry. I want to get it out in a turn, but Ann calms me down and slows me down like that, really. But we're excited about our wines at this time now, and in turn, we've done weddings over the years to bring in the revenue to buy the oak barrels and things. My friend at the bank told us, he said, Charlie, do you know how to make a small fortune in the wine business? No, but I want to learn that real quick. Start with a large fortune. It's very capital intense, very labor intense.
Yeah.
So now we're able to have the barrels to make the good wines with the quality fruit coming out of the vineyard. We only make about 1,000 cases, and in turn, we're happy doing that. We want to make 1,000 cases of good wine, not 5,000 cases of marginal wine. But I'm sure that's the attitude of the majority of the great growers out
Absolutely.
Here, too.
Oh, yes.
Same thing like that. So we enjoy what we're doing. We really are.
Nice. So now you had mentioned drink no wine before it's time, and Anne, you're really good about taking the time to actually get there. That's one of the things that we really like about this place here is that you just come out here and relax. So if you can't hear the birds on the audio and you can't hear the cars passing by, we're sitting outside. So tell us a little bit about where it is we're sitting and what it means to the property.
Well, actually, this is it's the crush pad that we're sitting at, and it is adjacent to the original milk house that the cows were milked by hand and then by automatic milkers. So this covered area is good for the grapes, but you're not bringing in grapes most of the year, so it also is a good dance floor for a party or a wedding.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So we're just right here on the property where the calves would have been waiting to come in to be milked.
So now you actually, you have a unique way of continuing to use the buildings that were original to the property here. You mentioned the milk house.
Right.
The tasting room itself is in an old building as well.
Yes, it was the new milk house when they, you know, regulations changed and that was built and the cows came in and the milkers were put on the cows and the milk went directly into the cooler. The refrigerated truck picked it up. It took it to the processing plant. So it was never touched by human hands. So that milk house is the milk house we use for our tasting room.
Okay.
Right.
And now you have a house here on property as well.
Right. We have the house, which was built in the late 1800s. I laugh and say it has a new kitchen. It was built in 1950.
Oh, wow.
So it's very, very new. But this was where I grew up, and we're actually where my father grew up.
Too. Okay.
So that, and then the mule barn is used. We better let Charles tell about that because they've done a lot of revamping in it over the time.
What we've done, Matt, is we've tried to keep the farm the way it was many years ago, like the milk house there that Ann's father milked cows in. We reprocessed it like it was. It was about to fall down, and so we put it back together to look old. And then in turn, then the mule barn down here, well, we've done a lot of work on it. And then in turn, what we've done is added doors to it, and then in turn, we have a chapel on the backside where the tractors were stored. And then in turn, now we have weddings under the chapel there. And lately, we've just reprocessed upstairs in the hayloft where we can do special dinners and things like that. Last night, we had a little barbecue rib dinner at about 50 people, and we ate upstairs in the hayloft. And in turn, we've added up, fixed it up with some antique furniture and things like that. So we were proud about that part, too, like that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, you showed us up there as a sneak peek, and I think that's a really great addition to the facility
you
have here.
It is, and what we want to do is to help take care of our customers better is have events. We're going to have a little Low Country Boil on the Memorial Day weekend, and in turn, invite our friends to come and in turn have a Low Country Boil with wine, with music and entertainment. So Ann and I can help do that in the future to, share the wine, to share the farm with the folks and things like that. So we're excited about where we're going with it. And in turn, our daughters are not interested in taking it over, but we want to still keep it going and enjoy what we're doing with it and share with you guys and then things like that.
Well, we're very grateful that you're sharing it because as we've said before, this is the place to come and relax and enjoy an afternoon. Don't need to go anywhere else. You just come and sit. There's shade trees around or under this patio and enjoy the great wine and good company.
Yeah, time has a way of slowing down when you're out here with good wine and a nice weather and just kind of relaxing.
We appreciate those compliments there. And Ann and I, as we get older, we want to enjoy those moments too.
Absolutely.
But with growing grapes and making wine, it's very labor intense.
Of course.
But it's a labor of love, guys. It really is. And in turn, but we enjoy what we're doing.
So we've talked about the barn, but the barn's kind of famous. So
the barn is
let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Well, in 2013, and I remember this because it's on the picture. We were contacted by a shop locator, Hillshire Farms, was looking for a barn to film for their commercials, and they wanted a barn that looked like the barn on their logo. And this gentleman out of Charlotte had pictures of the barn from another occasion and brought them out, and they filmed in 13 and then came back in 16 and filmed again.
Wow.
So the real barn on the Hillshire Farms commercials is our barn.
Oh, cool. Right. Yeah. That's a great little connection to, a little 15 seconds of fame, if you will, on the national spectrum.
And something, so it's iconic. Everyone knows that logo and knows what Hillshire Farm is.
A little comment along that same line, if I may, is Ann is not an early riser, guys. And in turn, she can't go to bed at night, but she can't get up in the morning. And in turn, when they came about 4 o'clock to set up. They had it ready by 5:30 with the sun coming up over the east. And then in turn, we got a little money out of it. We didn't get royalties and all the things you think you get. But when I told Ann how much money we got, she said, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have gotten up at 4:30 to put on my makeup and come out here to watch them do this now. But she did say that if they had only known, we'd have done it for nothing, too, like that. Yeah. It's nice bragging rights, guys. It really
is. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, not everyone has a red barn that's so iconic. Yeah. So definitely something to really pull in. So now, Anna Charles, so last name Edwards, but we're called Baker Buffalo Creek here. How did you come up with the name Baker Buffalo Creek?
Well, we applied for the name Buffalo Creek because it's the property that, the creek that borders the property. But that name was already taken by a winery in Missouri. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I thought, this is crazy. We're not going to be going to Missouri with our wine, and they're probably not coming here, but now with the GPS that everybody has, sometimes people will come in laughing that they put in Buffalo Creek and it was taking them to Missouri. But so we added, Baker was my maiden name, so since it was the Baker farm, we put the Baker Buffalo Creek, so it kind of had a better ring than Edwards.
It really does have a nice ring to it, yeah. I mean, the alliteration, it just kind of makes it seem cozy.
Well, and guys, that's the proper thing, too. We're Edwards, and that wouldn't have been fair to put on the farm. 6 generations of Bakers, and that's the proper thing to do like that, really.
Absolutely.
And so I think we did the right thing with it like that.
Recognizing a sense of place in the history
that was
here
of the farm and things, man, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about the vineyard. You've mentioned a few of the varietals that you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Chardonnay, Cab Sauv, Cab Franc. There's a little Merlot as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you grow some muscadines as well?
We do grow muscadines and scuppernongs, and plus we buy some of those too now. And we're more of the dry wines than we are the sweet wines, but yet still a lot of folks that come through the tasting room like that sweet wine.
Sure.
And our muscadines and scuppernongs are not real sweet. Mm-hmm. We let the fruit do the sweetness of the wine like that. And in turn, but it's very satisfying like that. And our goal is to try, as we go forward, to make quality wine and make different wines, too. It goes back to the lab many years ago, was doing experimental work, like that little C.D. Baker we have with the bourbon barrel. And in turn, we read about that in the magazine. Madali's doing it, Thousand Stories, others are doing it. So we thought, if they can do it, we can do it. So then we brought it in with the bourbon barrels, and we'll age it in the French barrel and flip it over to the bourbon barrel. And it's done real well for us like that, really. We're real pleased. We're looking for a blush coming up soon. Last year, I messed it up. I didn't leave it on the skins long enough. We brought Cab Franc in, and in turn left it on the skins only about an hour or so. And we're going to leave it on there until it gets dark, because then we pressed it, and it was just white. So anyway, we're learning with it like that. But if we can make good wines, that's our goal right there. And in turn, the vines, it's a real challenge. You have to get out there and tend those vines and then prune them properly and things like that. If you can do that, then you can grow the crops, the vines crops like that, really. And grandfather, or father, a local farmer tilled the soil, and we came in on that property and put the vines on it. And we didn't know what we were doing, and we just read a book, and it turned plant this way and that way, and that's what we did. But it's worked out fairly well, guys. It really has. So we're pleased with that.
So what's the varietal that works best in the vineyard, besides the muscadines, because they're native? So of course
now.
Yeah.
And in turn, your reds, like your Cab Sauvignon, your Cab Franc, work real well there. Chamberson and the works well. The Traminette on the white side works well too. The Muscadine's easy, but then the reason the Chardonnay is tough because it's an early bloomer and you get a lot of frost on that. And the Merlot on the red side, you got to make sure you take care of it too.
Sure.
But it's a challenge, guys. It really is. But I love the farming aspect of it. I really do. But a lot of it's hard work. It's just
hard
work out there, really. But it's very rewarding when somebody comes in and they taste your wine and they say, golly, man, this is good. That makes it worthwhile right there. So much of it really does.
So how's everything looking right now?
It looks excellent. This is probably the best crop we've had in the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
At this stage of the game.
Okay.
And we should be over with frost.
I think so.
And in turn, we had a little frost damage, not much at all, but yet still too. Every vine we have out there that's growing is really doing really well. So we're real pleased about that from there.
Nice. So if we can not have as much rain as we had in 2018.
Well, with the rain in the wintertime was okay, Joe, but in turn it could win the water table, but you don't want a lot of rain, particularly during harvest times.
Or flowering.
Where you're flowering like that.
Right.
You don't want that.
No.
But in turn, it looks like we're going to have a hotter, drier summer, but
it's looking
we'll see
that
what
way.
Happens
yes.
out. We really will.
So let's hope.
Uh-huh.
Let's hope.
So now, you've been this farm, this location has been part of the local history for over 100 years now. So, Anne, do you get a lot of people, locals, that are coming in saying, I remember this farm back when your dad owned it, or things like that, and just kind of seeing how it's progressed?
Well, actually more come in that my mother taught in first grade.
Oh, wow.
So probably than with the farming aspect.
Okay.
Right. So I would say we have more that, you know, remember this, or and also people saying that, you know, they drive by and had never noticed it was a vineyard or a while, but you just kind of are going your way and not really paying attention to what's on the side. But probably more that remember my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things with it, Matt, is we don't advertise a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, at our age, we've already kind of done our thing, we feel. But yet still, we want to keep the farm alive and we want to make good wines. And we want to take care of our customers and things like that. If we can do those things, we feel like we've accomplished what we want to be or where we want to be at this stage of our game, so to speak. Like
excellent.
That.
So where do most of your customers, besides locally, where do most of the customers come from?
Charlotte, Spartanburg, Columbia.
Okay.
Hickory, Morganton, Newton, areas like that. Gastonia, for certainly. And we get a lot out of Rock Hill. Fort Mill down that way too.
Sure.
So we get a wide variety of folks that come in, and it turned out. And we're the only winery in Cleveland County now. We've had two of our friends have closed up,
right.
And so now we're getting a lot of the traffic that maybe they didn't have too. So it looks like Ann and I are going to have to make a little change in the future with getting some additional help or something like that, maybe.
Sure.
From there.
Yeah. And Charlotte's not that far away from here either, so it's kind of like the biggest, the closest big city that you have.
It's about 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it gets them away from cement.
Yes.
Because of the rural setting. And it's the rolling foothills.
Oh, yes.
So even though we're not in the mountains, it's out.
Yes. Yeah, it is nice. Like, as we're sitting here, you kind of see the different land features. So back in the distance, you see where the creek kind of is and the flatter areas here. So definitely better than just concrete and parking lots and buildings.
Moving forward, what we want to do, too, is share the history of the farm more, too, like that, really. Ann's grandfather had a grain mill, a general store. And then with three state roads on the property here now, and then share that with the folks coming in and things. And we have a wagon that we have done tours around the property and things like that. And just to show where the first state road was, where Ann's grandfather's house was. And so we want to work on that aspect too, of doing those things too, besides just the wines and the weddings and the parties and things along that line, too.
Oh, of course. I mean, the connection to the local history is very important, especially when we're talking about sense of place and the way that it really all affects it. So, like, wine is very much a context type of, element to it. It's about who you're with, where you are, and what you're drinking. So you had mentioned the general store. So you said it was on the creek. And was that here on the property, or was that a little bit further out?
No, it was just right on the, just right here okay. on the creek. There.
Well, a couple hundred yards away, then.
Yes.
Okay.
You can't see me pointing.
No, that's the difficulty of a podcast is, unfortunately, no hand gestures.
No, hand gestures on that, right. But that was just, and the grain mill was there.
Okay.
And so that was just where, I guess, people would do their local, their local shopping, because it was the main road.
So well, one thing you don't want to leave out either, Ann, is your grandfather had a steel right down there that he made liquor, brandy and whiskey now.
Yeah.
And it turned up.
He had the federal license.
Well, I know he had a federal license. Yeah. And one of the things that really is interesting now, Ann's cousin said that his uncle had a route delivering the brandy and whiskey. And evidently he would put the bottles in his sack on the back of his mule, and we'd go from place to place like a tree with a hollow place. He'd reach in there and get the note out with the money and leave a bottle of brandy, a bottle of whiskey, or whatever like that.
That's how it was
done. Is that not the front runner of NASCAR? I mean, really. But it's a slower pace. Really.
Or the front runner of Amazon.
Yeah. But anyway, the history is exciting here now, really.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that Ann and I are so appreciative of. We tried to keep the farm like it was many years ago, not making it uptown. And in turn, so we're excited about that part, guys.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the charm.
It is. Definitely. Really.
So, Charles, you had mentioned one time that when you were clearing out some of the fields, you had kind of encountered some old farm equipment and things like that. So talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, what we were doing, when Ann and I first came in, Ann's mother was here for a number of years by herself with a local farmer tending the property and things. And in turn, so some of it had overgrown. We cleaned up, and as we did, between the briars and things, we found some equipment, things like that. So we displayed the equipment here on the farm to let people know that's what was used here on the farm.
Hmm.
A couple of pieces are not from this farm, from the area. And then so we're excited about sharing that part with it, too. And one of the things that was so exciting, Matt, is there were five families that lived on the farm when Ann grew up here. The Beckers have lots of acres now. And the lady lived in the block house here, celebrating her 96th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And in turn, her family called to have her birthday party here, and Ann certainly agreed. And in turn, there must have been 200, 250 people here. And some of the of Ms. Dolly's family, her sons, put hay up in the barn. Or in turn, milk cattle in the first milk house there. And in turn, they had a mule named Ralph that would pull the rack up to pull the hay up in the loft up there. And in turn, drop the hay down. And then they'd back Ralph up and pick up more hay and take him back up. And I just thought that was so unusual now. And I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in the city. And in turn, but it's exciting for me to be able to do this. And now we've renovated that hay loft to have different dinner parties and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're excited about what we've done with the farm at this point. And in turn, we've got a few more things to do, and then I think Ann's going to put the stops on us now, really.
Well, she is the boss. So.
She is the boss, man. 53 years being the boss, yeah. Now, really.
So let's go back to wine for a minute. How would you describe your style of winemaking?
Well, what we do is, Ann and I read five or six magazines each month about the business. To keep up with what's going on in the market out there and everything. And then in turn, what we try to do is what you would, I guess we'd call minimalistic intervention into the wines. Let the wines make themselves. Instead of putting all these different additives to it or things like that, we want the wine to show the characteristic of what Baker Buffalo Creek Vineyard Winery has to offer. And in turn, then with the barrels, we do try to use the new French barrels. With the weddings, we're afforded to buy the French barrels and then turn on. So then that way it imparts different flavors into the wines too and can make them more mellow, make them more oaky, make them have different flavors to them and things like that. So that would be the intervention we have. But other than that, we want that grape to do her thing. But we do have to prune them properly and we do have to spray occasionally now. And in turn, in order with the, here in the South, we have the mildew and things like that, so we've got to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do the very minimal we can. We want to do organic farming the best we can, and in turn, but we still have to spray some, guys. I don't care who it is, you have to spray like that, you really do. But we're excited about our wines at this point. They will always be better, and they can get better. And in turn, before Ann and I finish, we're going to have some killer wines now, in my opinion, really. They're not bad now.
So, of the wines that are in the lineup right now, is there one that's your favorite?
Well, I like the dry reds, Joe. I really do. And having the heart issues like I have, I like that better. and in turn, but yet still, too, some of the whites, like the Chardonnays and that little Traminette is a nice little wine, too. But I go back to the reds. And in turn, I like that Cab Franc. We just came up with a Chambrichon now. I like those wines like that, really. And our Cab Sauvignon is a more mellow, smoother type wine due to the barrels we're using and things like that. But the wines are good. But probably our favorite wine with the local people here is the Muscadine. And we call it Mule Barn Red after the Red Barn. Mm-hmm. That's on national TV with Hillshire and like that.
Yeah. There. The Muscadines that you produce here, like you said earlier, they're not overly sweet. You let the grape do all the work for it. So I think that really does express a lot more of the fruit. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just dumping a whole bunch of sugar in there and then kind of making a popular wine. It still is very popular on its own, so that's awesome.
When somebody comes in the door, Matt, we want to have something they'll like, whether it's a dry white or dry red or a sweet wine joke. That's what we want to have. Sure. And we try to make our wines, too, according to the way our customers like them, too. And in turn, if it's too oaky, then in turn it doesn't sell as well. Mm-hmm. Or if it's too dry or something like that, and then we try to adjust it, because you can tell. And in turn, but you want to take care of your customers. They pay the bills.
So he likes the dry reds, Ann. What's your favorite?
The dry whites.
Dry whites, okay.
So which one would you say on the dry white side?
The stainless Chardonnay and the Riesling.
Oh, okay. Oh, very nice.
So that's the current favorites, but is there one wine that you've made throughout the years that sticks out as a favorite? Like a particular vintage
between
and
the reserve between the rivers reserve, which we don't have right now, but it was very popular, and we hope to have it again. It's one of those that has to age longer and
right, of course. Yes, it was a very tasty.
We hope to do that again now, really. And if we have the Granda, that is a red blend, and in turn, but it's only aged a couple years now, and in turn, but yet this reserve we had. It was aged at least 3 years in the barrel. And guys, we don't have that capacity, or we haven't had up until now, that we can leave a wine in there 3 years because we got to sell it to pay the light bill.
Oh, yeah.
If you understand. But hopefully that will be our goal again, is to make that reserve, and then we want to make a rosé too, like that too.
Yeah. So now, being out here in Cleveland County, you're outside of the Yadkin Valley. So what challenges does that bring for industry or customers, or what do you think about that?
Well, most of the weekend customers want more than one winery to go to. They like to travel to two or three wineries, and now that they're not, there's maybe one or two. But then also, a lot of people like to bring a picnic and just stay and spend the afternoon, so it works out. But it is better if you're in an area where there are several wineries, and then people can have more choices to go to.
But I really think you've made a good destination here. Like you said, bring a picnic out and enjoy it. It's that's something that we've always enjoyed doing, is just coming here and relaxing. I mean, we brought a picnic today, and you know, while you were doing your regular business, we kind of waited till after hours to get everything through here. So it's just a great way to relax on a nice weekend afternoon.
So we highly recommend it. Anyone listening that's within a couple of hours, pack that picnic, come on out.
One of the things we're excited about, too, guys, the western part of the state is picking up with wineries.
Absolutely.
And in turn, the folks are finding out that some good wines are made out in this area, too.
Absolutely.
And in turn, like coming from us, from Charlotte, and then going on up to Tryon and that area like that, and going up to Morganton and all. So we're growing some decent grapes now.
Yadkin
Valley, we're real proud of them. And because of what they're doing, they're putting the state on the map, so to speak. But there are others of us that are trying, too. And in turn, we're coming along and doing fairly well, too, like that, really.
Yeah, I would say definitely more than trying. You're doing fairly good wine, so that's a good thing.
Good.
And our agriculture extension team here has been very supportive of the wine industry and trying to encourage and promote, which is a plus.
So we've touched a little bit on the bourbon barrels, but let's focus on that. There's not that many folks. There's three or four, I think, in North Carolina that currently that have wines out that have been in bourbon barrels. There are probably others who are working on them. But talk about how that came about and how that's been received by your customers.
We read five or six magazines, like I mentioned, a month about the business. We want to keep abreast of what's going on. Like Cab Franc is a growing wine right now.
Sure.
So that's, we picked that up, and in turn, we have that bottle now too, like that. But reading the magazines, I read in several of the magazines that Mondavi, Thousand Stores, Apothic, others are doing that. And I thought, well, if they can do it, why can't we? And it goes back to the lab, I guess, with experimental work many years ago. And so we knew where we could get some bourbon barrel. And so we brought them in. And in turn, we didn't have the slightest idea how to do this thing, but we just winged it. And in turn, Ann went to the grocery store and bought a bottle of the a bourbon barrel Cabernet Sauvignon. And it stated on the side of the bottle, aged 4 months. So, hey, that gave us directions about how long to age it, I guess.
Let the other people do the research.
Right, well, that's right. But in turn, we put it in the barrels, and in turn left it in there 4 or 5 months, and we're finding the barrels differ. And then, so that's how it all came about like that. And in turn, we're reading other things, too. Our daughter, particularly, too, sells wine in California, and she says a lot of the winemakers there are putting the cab in American barrels for about 4 or 5 months, and then picking up that flavor and then transferring it to a French barrel.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we've done that. We have some Cab and some Cab Franc in there that we had in the American barrels for 4 or 5 months. And so we're going to see how that goes a little later on like
sure.
that. And you can tell a difference.
Absolutely.
So, but the bourbon has done a great job for us, Joe. It really has. It's been received real well. And in turn, now, ours is not a heavy bourbon, and in turn, but it's got a nice little bourbon flavor at the tail end. But talking about red meat, it's an excellent one with red meats. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a cooler weather type wine like
sure.
that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you drink eat a steak, yeah, any kind of wine like that's good with it, too, like that from there. Yeah. But we're real pleased with it, though. We really have. And this is probably about the second year that we've done this now. And so we're real pleased with having it, though. We really are.
Excellent. So now, Anne, you've... As with any winery in the industry, going through and getting labels created is always an issue. You have a little bit of an interesting tale with the bourbon barrel one. Tell us a little bit about the story you had to go through that.
Well, we had decided we were going to try a different label company than the one that we had used always. So we thought, well, this would be a good one to try it out. And several of our friends at other wineries were using this company. So I called and talked to a gentleman and told him what we wanted and what we wanted it to look like. And he sent something which had not much of anything that I'd asked for on it and was missing several things that the government requires to be on it. And he said, I will fix that after it's approved. And I'm thinking, this is kind of weird because you don't change it after it's approved. And finally, one day he was not there and I spoke with someone else. And we were able to move forward, and I don't know why, but it turned out that that was the owner of the company, and I guess he had just decided he wanted to do a label. I don't know, but once we got with them, and we've been very pleased with the work that they do, and being so quick,
mm-hmm.
because we were not dissatisfied at all. But it would take as much as 3 weeks to get a label.
Oh, goodness.
And that, a lot of the time, I would not know I needed a label until we needed a label.
And these
people usually, if we order on Monday, it's here by the end of the week.
Oh, wow.
They do a real quick turnaround. And the quality's good.
Good.
So
that's awesome.
That it works like that. But it is, we don't do fancy labels. I guess the bourbon barrel aged is our only unique label. The rest are just more of a classic.
I was going to say label. Classic is how I would describe them for sure.
When we were at Surrey, the folks said, nobody will ever choose that off the grocery store shelf. And I said, that's okay. We won't be producing enough to be on the grocery store shelf. So it won't have to be picked out from the...
That's a very interesting perspective to have. It's kind of really like what you want your brand to be.
Right.
And not just succumbing to the grocery store demand.
And
so that's awesome.
So it's worked nicely.
I think it suits what the vibe that you get here and what we get from talking to you. It's for me, that label looks like Charles.
So.
Well, we appreciate that. That's what we want to be like.
And Charles is wearing yellow today, so that fits in nicely with the background of the label. So.
Yeah, it does.
So what are some things that you've learned over the years of doing business?
You got to have the money. You got to have the money, for one thing. It is very capital intense, man. It really is. the barrels are $1,200 a piece, some of those nice medalliers and things like that. Mm. And it turned out, and it's a lot of hard work. I mean, here I'm out here on Thursday night at 9 o'clock spraying the vines. And it turned, but you got to, you have to. And it turned, I found too, we're on a smaller scale. And it's so a lot of the work I'm doing myself and everything like that. Mm. And it's so, but it's a labor of love. It really is enjoyable, though, really. But one of the things that Ann and I enjoy so much, having met you guys, is in meeting the people. I mean, we love you guys, and it's been fun like that. And we have new people all the time. But we're people persons now. We really are. Mm-hmm. And in turn, but that's the main thing we've enjoyed about it, though, in my opinion. And in turn, having people say the wines are good too. But it's hard. It really is. You see the advertisement on TV about the guy saying, "Well, I'm getting ready to retire. I think I might get a winery and a vineyard or something." He needs to come talk to me for us, really, and let us talk to him a little bit.
That's been a common theme that we've right. heard yes. as we've talked to a number of people. So,
but we've enjoyed it very much and had a lot of health issues. But I think the work has helped me a lot. Still doing it. And I think drinking red wine is wonderful. Really, really good.
Well, we would agree with that.
Yeah. And how about for yourself?
The people, and really now the thing I don't like about it is the book work. I did not ever want to be a bookkeeper, and there is a lot of paperwork, and that's one reason we don't ship. Is that just adds on a couple more layers of paperwork. But the people, and we have met so many nice people, and that you know we consider friends, and I think they consider us friends. Mm-hmm. That it's just kind of like home week sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays because that's when the main traffic is because people are at work. Mm-hmm. But it's just been it's been fun and it's nice to have the farm still be alive.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you grew up here, so you had that linkage. So it must be really gratifying to see it still be in use after all the years mm-hmm. that you've been around it, and it's just you're continuing on the family legacy of using this land.
Right. Now we can just help one of the grandchildren.
Right. But one of the things that last night, particularly, Larry, here we've got a group of people up there. They've got music up there, eating dinner in the loft of the barn. And I'm thinking, what in the world would Mr. Baker or Ann's grandfather think about all this going on in the top of their barn, the hayloft like that, really?
Probably would never imagine.
No, that. They, mm-hmm. they really
would. Having dinner in the top of the barn.
My mother would think it was wonderful.
What would your father think?
He would think it was crazy.
But it's great to share, guys. It's really is. The Lord has blessed us with this, and it's great to share with you guys. It really is. We appreciate this so much.
So, we talked about what you've learned, but is there something, some particular thing or situation that's left the biggest impact on you since you've opened the winery and vineyard here?
Well, one of the things it tells me, when we first started, I didn't know what I was doing, and we planted the Chardonnay in the wrong place. They should have planted up on the hill instead of down at the bottom, and what does frost do? It hits and rolls. And so that's something that has remained with me, remembering that I didn't know what I was doing about this. But we've learned with it over the years, too, like that, about other things to do with it and things like that. But that's one thing that stands out right off from there. And then, too, that I'm not as young as I used to be when I fell off the ladder on the barn and broke my back and in turn doing those things. And I fell right there and broke my nose. I've got to slow down and in turn... But it has been a ride, a wonderful ride. And I appreciate Ann putting up with me doing this all these years. She has not always agreed with what I wanted to do, but I think she's putting her foot down heavier now than she used to.
Well, she's the boss.
Well, that's exactly right.
You keep saying that. Yeah, so
might as well do it, right?
I have to exert my authority.
But when you've been married as long as we have, it just doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter. Whatever I am, won't be in good.
She seems to be surprised by that.
What a wine joke.
But she's still smiling.
She is. Right. She, yeah.
When he mentioned that he was getting too old to be doing this, I thought, finally, let's get this in writing.
Well, we have it on audio.
I know, now I can play it back to him.
We've got about 10 more years of doing this, and then after that, we'll consider what we're going to do with it.
Well, you can always put a hammock and have your hammock and folks see folks when you need to.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you're thinking maybe 10 more years. So what do you think might be the next change that you might add in?
Well, it depends upon our daughters are not interested, and our grandchildren, maybe one of the four might.
Okay.
You never know, guys.
Yeah.
You never know.
But we have children that want to be adopted.
So. We really do.
Or people that want to be adopted.
Uh-huh.
So.
But the thing about it is, it's going to be hard to let it get out of the family.
Of course.
Been in the family for all these years.
Of course. Yeah.
It'd be hard like that. But, you know, sometimes you just have to make decisions.
Yeah.
And in turn, in 10 years, I'm going to take the next step, and Ann's going to have to worry about what she's going to do there, really, because she's got longevity in her genes.
Yeah.
Well,
if we know Ann, I'd say it involves a beach and a book.
Exactly.
You're right, man.
Does that mean in 10 years I can go to the beach?
Yeah. Start your countdown now.
Wait a minute, you just went last week, woman. Really, what do you mean?
I had to come back early.
Well, we appreciate you coming back.
Not because of this.
That's right. That's
she had to run the place.
We had the party last night. We had to be here to help with the party.
That's true. That's very true.
So,
what's left the biggest impact on you, Ann?
Well, I haven't had to worry about what to do with free time.
There you go.
Right? So, I know what I'm going to be doing. So, I guess maybe that's the biggest impact. I don't know.
Okay.
No, and I enjoy it too. I enjoy the people, and it is fun. Now I have my third graders that come to my day.
It's going to be a little surreal.
I know. So, they're a little surprised to have their teacher pouring wine for them. But it is fun to see. And there was actually a young lady in yesterday. I did not have her, but her brothers. And when Charles was doing the tasting with her, but when she was saying something, and I said, "Are you Dr. Babb's daughter?" It was fun to reminisce
It is interesting to have a beverage, alcoholic beverage, with a teacher. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a wine festival and ran into my kindergarten teacher.
Oh goodness.
We both had glasses of wine, and she's like, "You can't be old enough to drink." I'm like, "You can't be." Yes, I guess I am.
She couldn't be drinking. Yeah,
exactly. You're not supposed to be drinking either. So.
It's kind of fun when your old world and your new world collide with
each other.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the biggest challenges I think I've had, guys, over the years is Ann was in the schoolroom all those years, and then in turn I was in the cleaners. And in turn, I was the boss of the cleaners. Now, we had a big operation, and we really did. And what I said was kind of what went. And in turn, now here we are in the winery business, and I'm not the boss anymore. And I kind of struggle with that sometimes now, really, because I'll say, "Guys, I want you to do this, or let's do this." And then Dan will come behind me and say, "I want you to do this over here. What do we do here now, really?" But anyway,
the boss.
Well, I know. We worked that out, really.
Yeah.
But I'm just kidding about that, too. But we have worked well together, though. We really have. But a lot of it is when you get older, you just say, "Yes, ma'am." You just keep doing it. Right?
Again, she seems surprised by that.
I wonder why.
So could ask his friends. They would agree with me.
So now, what do you think the future of North Carolina wine holds?
Well, man, if you remember, North Carolina was the number one state in the United States before Prohibition was grape and wine sales.
Uh-huh.
But that was muscadines, I understand.
Right.
But yet still, too, I think we've got a great area here. And look at all the numbers of people we have here in the Charlotte area, Raleigh-Durham area, things like that. And I think it's going to do nothing but get better.
Yeah.
But we all have got to work hard to make it a better business than what it is now. It can always be better.
Yeah.
And in turn, some people get into it, and in turn, they don't realize how hard it is and how capital intense it is now, and things like that. And in turn, but I think it's got a bright future. I really did.
Yeah, Western North Carolina is starting to get more and more vineyards and wineries.
They really are, really. And they're growing good grapes up there,
absolutely,
too, now, really.
Right.
And in that isothermal area, it's really doing well.
Mm.
But here at the foothills with us, we're doing well, too, with our grape growing now, really. But I think it's going to be nothing but the future is going to be brighter and brighter. We really do. That's my feeling about it.
Awesome.
So do you guys ever get to get away and go taste somewhere else?
Very seldom. We did when we were going to Surrey
Community College.
We would go and do, or sometimes we would just go look around.
Right.
They wouldn't be open, but I guess we're like at the Christmas show and the spring show. there are a lot of wineries that come to that, so we do get to to taste that, but not often.
Right.
Once in a while, we get up to the Tryon area, probably more than Yadkinville because
it's, well, it's closer.
We don't have the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But one of the things with, like on a Saturday night, we're real busy usually, and, and to be honest with you guys, we want to be here when you come.
Sure.
And we want to see you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we've
yeah.
been friends for a long time, and we want to be here to share our love with you and things like that. And in turn, if we're away, and in turn, we had somebody in yesterday. They were up here, back when we were in the spring show.
Yes.
And, you know, and we didn't see them.
Yeah.
And in turn, we talked and got along real well, and they booked a wedding.
Mm.
And in turn, but the thing about it is, we enjoy seeing you guys. If we don't see you, like we haven't seen some of our friends in a long time, and we've missed her. Now we really have.
Yeah, Charles is pointing to our friend Susan, who's here in the audience with us tonight.
But I mean, it's not about just selling wine; it's about the friendships you've made over the years, like that, guys. It really is for me.
Yep.
But we do want to get away some. We really do.
Yeah.
But Diane's going to San Francisco next week, and in turn, our daughter's having surgery 2 weeks in, and in turn, so she'll be away like that, and. We might have to close the doors, but in turn, no, we'll do what we can.
Oh, yeah.
Really. But anyway, we do want to do some. And we had a chance to travel before we got into this. But yet still, there's other places we want to go to.
Sure, yeah.
And from there. But still, it's that labor of love that we have for it, guys. It really is.
Completely agree. That's one thing that we love about North Carolina and here specifically is that you get to actually know the owners. You get to talk with the owners when you come in to visit.
Right.
And like you said, if you're out at one of the shows down in Charlotte and y'all aren't here, it's just very much like, oh, they're not here. Okay, well, come back again next time. But
I mean, it's still fun, but it's not the same.
Right.
It's not the same.
Yeah, that's like a little dog we've adopted, guys. I mean, people miss her on Sunday. She had a hard day yesterday, so we gave her a day off. And in turn, people said, where's B? Where's B? And in turn, she's become a real part of the farm like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's just the way it is, really.
Yeah. So now, what's one thing you want your visitors to know when they come here to Baker Buffalo Creek?
I want them to know that we're trying the hardest we can to make the best wine that we can. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal. And in turn, if we can make the good wines that will meet our satisfaction, then in turn, it will be satisfaction for them. And in turn, spending 30 years in the dry cleaning business, guys, I still go around and look at your dress slacks and see if you got double creases. And look at your dress shirts and see if you got photos in the collar. And my point there is the business could be better. It could be better. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with the wines. It can be better. It can be better. And as those grapevines grow and produce better quality fruit and those barrels in there can age those wines like that, it will get better and better. And that's our goal.
Okay.
It's not lots, but it's better quality.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So, Ann, anything else to add to that?
I think you said it all.
So, kind of coming to the end of the interview, we want to thank you, of course, for having us out this evening and being part of Cork Talk today. But what's something that you most look forward to in the future besides the beach and the book?
I look forward to good health. In a happy marriage with my wife here now, and in turn, and to make people happy when they come to Baker Buffalo Creek. If we can do those things now and take care of our family and all, guys, that's what it's about at our age now. Ann and I are getting to be old school. And in turn, I mean, really, we are. I was at a gas station the other day, and I spoke to the young guy, and he said, hey, old school. And I thought, who are you talking to? But wait a minute, he's talking to me. But I am old school. But I'm just glad to be old school.
Yeah,
and in turn, if we could just enjoy and share the farm and in turn be at peace inside and have fun with it, that's what we want to do with it, guys, the next 10 years that we're working, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, and thinking about that countdown clock right now.
The 10 years doesn't change. He's been saying that for at least five years. You know, so I'm thinking, you know, wait a minute, should it be down to five?
I'm going to be like Gus Anderson with Anderson Con Valley out in Napa. He was a friend of ours. And in turn, finally, he died probably about 90 years old. And I want to do like that. But he was still making wine at that time. Because it's a way of life, guys.
Yeah,
it's what it is. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
And in turn, we want it to be that way, too. But when people think of Baker, I want to think of good quality wines. and are having a good time when they come to visit like that for that.
Excellent.
Well, guys, we thank you so much for what you're doing for us in the state of North Carolina, too, and not just for Ann and I here, too, like that. We've enjoyed our friendship all the years like that. We really have, but we certainly appreciate this tonight. Now, we really do.
Oh, well, we do as well. Thank you for taking the time with us.
Yes, thank
you. We look forward to more visits and more conversations. And Ann, I'm hoping that you get to your beach and your book soon.
Me too.
You got to the beach, no book. There was no beach, so did you? You didn't go out to the beach, did you?
Yeah.
Well, it's college friends you went with.
Oh,
right,
okay.
We celebrated our 75th birthday. We've been friends since 62.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
So, right.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, let's end on that high note. Thank you again.
Well, thank you, guys.
Here's a quick update from Charles and Ann.
All right, so we are here again today with Charles and Ann at Baker Buffalo Creek revisiting. Charles and Ann, tell us what's been going on. What's been new and exciting for you?
Well, guys, we finished up the grapes for the year, and we had a good crop coming up, and in turn, it's worked out real well. And we got them in the tanks and the barrels working out, and in turn, the fruit is making some really good wine. And we're real pleased at this point of what we've got. But we still are a small little winery, only making about 1,000 cases or something like that. But one thing that is happening that we're really excited about is our daughter and son-in-law are coming from California, buying the farm in the next couple months. And in the process of working out the license and things like that. But we're excited about that. Ann and I will get a little time to rest now, but we'll still stay and work with them, and in turn make sure that if we can help in any way, we want to, because I don't know what we would do if we couldn't come here, really, like that.
I think Ann said she was going to read some more the last time we talked, so.
I hope not. But anyway, I lose her for about two or three weeks here. She's gone somewhere, and she's somewhere over there reading, I guess is what it is. But anyway, we will be able to do things that we weren't able to do in earlier years, too, which we're real excited about. But anyway, the granddaughters, we have two granddaughters in New York and one in San Francisco, and so they'd be involved too, coming to visit and all. And then we have the daughter in Gastonia and her daughter, and so we'll be able to all be together. And that'll be the first time in 20, 30 years that we've all been together, and so we're excited about that. But the winery, we still want it to go. They want to make it bigger, not necessarily bigger in numbers, but better with the quality and things like that, and keep doing the good things that we've started doing. And Ann and I are so excited about this. It's staying in the family. And in turn, we've had opportunities. People have asked us earlier times about maybe trying to get into invested or something like that. But being in the family is another thing. And so we're really excited about that, really.
Well, it's a good way to keep the connection from, you know, shine to milk to wine.
That's right.
And then continuing on with the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're excited about that. And one thing that Elizabeth and her husband, they're going to live here on the farm. Whereas Ann and I have not. We've lived in Gastonia, but we've lived here. And so we're excited about them renovating the house and in turn bringing it up to modern standards and things like that. And so it should be a really nice move, guys, for everybody.
Excellent.
And particularly for the wine business here on the farm like that, really.
Very cool.
And them being younger, they can start a wine club and the newsletters and things that Charles and I didn't have the knowledge of doing.
No, that's true. Really.
Well, in shipping, we've never shipped.
But we
had a shipping license, but they'll be able to expand on things like that.
Very cool. Well, a lot of exciting things coming up. We're very, very much happy to be here again today. I know we're overdue for our visit.
Yeah, well, we're delighted to have you now. We about forgot who you were. I'm only kidding about that. We'll never forget that, really. But we really appreciate what you guys do for the wine business in the state of North Carolina.
Well, thank you.
Really mean that thing, really. And we've had a lot of good growth here in the Carolinas in the last 20 years since we've been in the business.
Sure. Oh,
and
yeah.
So we hope it'll continue, and I think it will. I really do from there.
Well, this has always been a very special place for us to come, and so we encourage all of our listeners to come back out. See, Charles and Ann, they're not going anywhere.
They're
not going
anywhere. Where will they go?
So come out, enjoy some good wine, some good Southern hospitality, and relax.
That's a good place.
Well, guys, we're excited about having you today, really. And glad to get the word out about Baker like that. We've had a good year. We've been very pleased with it there. And so quality of the wine is what our focus is. It's not about making the dollar.
No,
as long as you pay your bill. And after that, it's okay, really.
And little Miss B is just over here saying hi to Ann. So.
Right. She's full of wine.
Has her own rosé now. So
she does.
You can try that.
She does.
All right. Well, Charles Ann, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
That's it for this episode.
Thanks again to Charles and Ann. We're excited for what the future brings and encourage everyone to head out to visit Baker Buffalo Creek.
If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. It helps others find Cork Talk and lets us know how we can improve.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at NC Wine Guys. Until next time, and remember, a cork only talks when it's out of the bottle. Cheers!
Pour a glass of your favorite North Carolina wine, mead, or cider, and enjoy all that North Carolina wine country has to offer. To plan your trip, download the NC Wine app or visit ncwine.org.